Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of my Language Facilitation Helpline podcast. The information in this show is designed to equip and empower parents to take action today. Parents are advised to never give away your power as your child's language facilitator to any therapist, teacher, consultant, or even to a specific method or strategy. And always honor your unique family's abilities and your own core values before you consciously initiate any action with your child. Most importantly, the strategies and advice provided here are general and not intended to replace personalized consultation. If you want individual coaching and advice, you should visit wavesofcommunication.com to learn how to work with me as a client. Hi, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. And today I'm here with Laura, who has a 3-year-old late talking little girl. And she's over in the UK. And what I'm going to do is ask you, Laura, to go ahead and get started telling us a little bit about your family and how you came to know your child was a late talker and what you've done so far. I know you've been following my strategies for a while and you've read my book and, you know, we've been communicating on Facebook Live. So I think everybody will be interested to know your journey. So why don't you share a little bit about you?
Hi, Marcy. First of all, thank you so much for all you do. And thank you for having me. I feel so honored. I've never done this before. So this is brilliant. I'm excited. Well, as you said, I've got a 3-year-old daughter, who's a late talker. And the way we came about that, knowing that she might be a late talker, was first of all, starting with me, I was a late talker. So I didn't talk till I was even later than her, I think, when I said my first words. And so we just thought it could be like a hereditary thing. But the reason why, how we came across of this was, you know, she got to the age of, I think, 1, 1.5, and we weren't hearing words, you know. But before that, up until the age that she was, I think, 7, 8 months, we would hear her use and those sounds, and even get to the point where she nearly would even try to say mama, you know. And then sadly, what I think it all started as well that affected her was a little bit of trauma, because when she was 9 months old, I was admitted into hospital and I was there for about 10 days or 11 days. And she didn't see me for 9 days. So I feel and it was really tough for me and as well for her, because before then we were constantly together. So having that detachment, I feel that it had a bigger effect on her. In fact, before I ended up going into hospital, people, family were saying, oh, she's making sounds. She's, you know, this child looks like she's going to be talking way earlier than you did. So you, wow, you know, she's making sounds. She's so bright. She's so smart. And then when I came back home and for recovery, you know, we've realized that she started to hold back a bit more. So we didn't hear the sounds like before. She'd make sounds with, you know, whenever she wanted to get attention or babble a bit, but, you know, it became less. And she was more of a active child than she was a talker. By the time we got to nearly the age of 2, I thought maybe we should take her to a speech therapist. So we did, we self-referred, and we didn't get to see a first consultation, I think, must have been about 4 months later, 5 months later. She did some work with her where she would try and, you know, do activities, and Ariella would follow, like just with puzzles and showing her things. And then she said, okay, what we might be starting to do with her is something called PECs. So picture exchange communication. Before we started with the PECs, however, you know, she'd go on a slide, she'd say we on the slide. And if she did something, and I jokingly say sorry to your grandmother, she used to say sorry. But then we started with the PECs here with us at home. Although I was trying to use them, I still had my doubts. One thing I didn't like about it, she'd just give me photos. And, you know, and then she stopped saying anything. I started to notice that no sounds. She'd even go on the slides, not a wee on the slide. Everything just stopped,
Wasn't talking at all.
completely stopped. And
Really?
I found that really strange, because I then said to my mother, I think these things are making her lazy. I think they're making her think, because they are smart. Late talking kids are, smart. I've come across so many since I've started, with you and watching you and listening. And they know what to do. They know how to get you not to talk. I've seen that,
How was her behavior at the nursery?
She'd go and sit and she'd do things, but she wouldn't only sit there for a second, and then she'd be up and then walking around again to go ahead and do her own thing.
And so was the school frustrated by that? Were and that's
Yeah,
what they were telling
because
you?
with that, and also saying that she wasn't interacting with the children, that she'd walk away. I started to think maybe it was because she can't converse with the kids, because when I take her to soft play or we go to the playground, then she would always do high fives to them. If I say, I'm gonna high five this girl, she high fives. So, and I saw her interaction with her cousins. She wasn't a very misbehaved child. She wouldn't, she's not violent. She's not, if she
Right.
there's something she doesn't like, she'll walk away from it.
Wasn't responding to other kids, not interested in playing with other kids, and not really doing, sitting to do any kind of structured work with them. And this is when she was three already, right?
Yes, she was already three, and I asked him, I said, is she harmful to any children or anything? No, she goes into her little bubble. And
I
what
see.
I said to them was, I don't think it's because she doesn't want to interact with children, because I see the way she is outside, with other kids. I think it's when the children start talking to her, with her, she can't respond. So, because one of the kids, funny enough, said to me, they came up to me after about 3 weeks of her starting in the nursery, saying, she doesn't talk. Why doesn't she talk? And I said, but I know she doesn't talk, but do you know that if you do a high five to her or a fist bump, or you ask, get her for a hug, she'll do them. Really? Yes. And I felt like she taught the children something. I came back a couple of weeks later. Oh, I do high fives with her all the time. And they love her. You walk into the nursery now, they're waiting for her at the door to take her in. These are children. And I always believe that if you want to learn something, you look at children, because they're amazing.
Yeah.
They're so precious. But
Well,
with
that sounds
her,
like some nice interaction with children to me. I mean, maybe it's not the
absolutely.
same, maybe it's not during those activities, but that sounds like very nice interaction, even if it is initiated by the other kids. But
Yes.
you provided them with the little girls, the other little kids, you provided them with the tools, those kids,
The
in how to
actions.
reach your daughter in that
Yes.
stage. And that was really, really important. And that's what a good language facilitation mom does. You support your child wherever they are. If they're at school, if they're
Yes.
going to a birthday party, if they're, even with your parents or and people around, you support your child wherever they are.
Before I knew about, start without the prompting, I was prompting her. And they used to say to me, oh, if she wants something to eat, you don't give it to her until she asks for it or says the word, I found that so frustrating, because I was hurting her. I felt like I was, causing her to get upset. Because I used to say, cookie, okay, here, have a cookie. What do you want? What do you want? Say the word and you can have it. Say the word. And she would get angry and upset and frustrated and cry, and walk away. And I started to feel really guilty. And I said to my mother, this is, I can't do this. This is not what I want to do. I want to hold her. I want to hug her. I want to tell her everything is going to be okay. There must be a different way. It got to the point we weren't getting anywhere. She wasn't saying anything. She was getting frustrated. And then when I didn't, if I didn't show a reaction, she would either come closer and then start again with her sounds of upset, or she would just walk off to another room and then upset again, making a louder sound and wanting me to follow.
Directed behavior. It's truly, I
Yes.
am creating this
Yes.
behavior as a way to get you to understand how I feel and respond to me, because certainly she didn't have words to communicate that. But I think it is so remarkable how specific children can be to communicate exactly why they are upset with their behavior, between getting you to understand because you know them and the
Yes.
specific things they do. Walk halfway to a room, turn around and look, and keep walking to indicate, I'm getting upset, follow me over here and come and cuddle me in my bedroom. Re know that I need that from you right now by my behavior. And the reason, bless your heart, Miss Laura, the reason that she does that is because for her entire life, it has worked as the communication system that she has developed in your home. You know, when we are together, when mom is around, all I have to do is put on a show, and mommy's gonna be right there to help me.
She's gonna
So.
hug me, she's gonna love me, she's gonna give me what I want, which we never did. We always stood our ground, but I always was there to give the hugs and, and okay, don't get upset, don't get upset,
Yeah.
but you can't have it, but don't get upset, And
Right.
then the highlight came for me when it got to a point I couldn't see her like that anymore because I knew she was more than that. And I
Yeah.
started to actually go on courses and to learn more, to a parents course, to learn more about autism, to learn more about everything. And one thing I loved about doing that was I got to do, it was like a checklist for me. I would think, okay, she doesn't do that. No, she doesn't act that way. No, she doesn't have a meltdown, because you read about these things. And I went to these classes. And then it was good for me because so I knew then there's nothing wrong with my child, even though I've been saying it from the beginning, there's nothing wrong with my child. It's just her speech. There's something going on with her speech. So I wanted to help her and I decided that's it. I've had enough. I want to do research more. I'm turning back onto the internet. I need to find out something extra that's going to help me with this. I want to help her. Speech therapy books, give me something, And then I came, the first thing that showed up was your book. If it isn't fun, it isn't fun. I said, like, what is this? What does this have anything to do with speech? As soon as I saw the title. So I read a little bit in the book and then I got to the parts and it was so interesting reading that because I felt, yes, she's talking about my child. Yes, she points, she gestures, but she's not talking. And pecs, oh my goodness. Yes, thank God there's somebody out there who's reading my mind what I want to say, but I don't have the evidence to prove that they're not working with her. So I then saw that you were on YouTube. That night, I think I stayed up till 3:30 in the morning. I thought I watched one video on YouTube after the other. I was like, and I watched them fully, the stopping, the prompting, the explanations, all the other videos. You see your child a late talker, yes. She babbles, yes. If she's using her vocal cords, that means they can speak. Yes, I think so. And then that night before I went to bed, I decided, right, I'm going to try this now, not tomorrow, not whatever. I packed away all her pecs and put them away in the cupboard. I thought, okay, I don't know whether I'm doing the right thing here, but I need to try this. She didn't ask about them. She didn't go looking for them the next day or anything. And so I just watched her. She had a bath and then she was hopping everywhere. Oh, we're hopping. Hop, hop like a kangaroo. Hop, 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 hop here. Hop, hop there. Let's hop like a kangaroo. And we were just like that the whole day and trying different things. By the end of just that first day, she came up to me. She looked at me, in the face. I said, hello, mommy. And she just went, hop, kanga. I was like, what? My mother was at the other end of the room. Did you hear this? Hop, hop, kanga? Hop, hop, kanga. Okay, the pecs are not coming back in this house. That was my first answer. Not, yes, mommy. Mine was like, the pecs are not coming back in this house. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. And I did it. I worked at it for days, you know, for a few days. We just kept trying. And then in time, she would say things spontaneously. You know, I did the prompting challenge, the seven, stop the prompting challenge. Sometimes I still make mistakes. I'll admit that, because then these are habits, like you say. So then I go back and I try and do it again, the challenge. You know, I test myself again just to get myself back on that spot again. And when I notice that we don't, every day there's a new word, and sometimes there's two words, you know, a sentence. And like I said to you earlier today, before this interview, you know, I was trying to get addressed to school today, and you know, and I, come on, let's put your tights on. And she just went, no need now. You know, I love it. I love it. I laugh, but you know, it's like when she spontaneously comes out with things. I'm like, okay, no need now. I give you 5 minutes and I'll be back. That's just for me to go away. Did you hear that? She said, no need now. So words are there. The words are coming. She's still not talking in school. But I think that's because she has pressure, and I think because of her past experiences. And this is what I love as well about your strategy, the reach and teach strategy that you do. It's brilliant, because we watch her do things and then we talk to her about it, you know, about the stuff that she's doing. And you know, if she's putting her Lego boy and girl to hold hands, I'll say, oh, the boy is sitting and the girl is standing, and now they're holding hands. I say what she's doing to them. And I said it for the first time to her, the boy and the girl are holding hands, and she's holding them together. And my video is recording the whole time, my camera. I've got it on record whenever I do anything, just in case something spontaneously comes out.
Oh,
And
that's great.
out of the blue, she says, holding hands. I was like, yeah. Holding hands, and you can hear my voice. I'm not in the video, but you're gonna, oh, yeah, okay. Because we realized if we did a big deal and said, wow, you just said holding hands, she stops. I have a child who is testing me every day, you know, but it's brilliant. It's a great experience. So we don't make a big deal when she says things. We just go, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it. That's right. Holding hands, you
That's
know.
really good. I'm glad that you said that, because when parents are watching this, you know, you're really providing a wonderful perspective. You know, schools and therapy, they don't have a choice. The way that it works, that's why parents are told at home to do things like don't give the cookie until they say cookie, because these are the methods that are used in schools and therapies. Any teacher or therapist is restricted by their requirement to produce some sort of outcome. And that's why they're constantly creating testing situations so that they can record data to show that their intervention method, teaching method, school, whatever it is valid. And this is where the whole premise of evidence-based intervention comes from. Again, evidence-based requires you do it according to certain guidelines. So if that evidence-based intervention has guidelines that don't match with a child, then it is, just as you did, a parent's responsibility to identify the mismatch and find providers who do match with an intervention that is right for your child, instead of making the child try to fit the intervention method, which is what therapists do by giving parents prompt-based strategies to use at
Right.
home.
Thank God I'm somewhere where I'm not a crazy thinking mama. You know, because after a while, even though you're trying, it's so tough being a mother these days, because you're seeing things with your child. You're at home and you're seeing the potential that your child has, but nobody else is seeing it. So everybody's saying, no, you don't know what you're doing. You're just saying it to protect your child. Somebody listening to me. Thank goodness I'm making sense now. So it proves your point, you know, it prompting doesn't work, and pressure, they should talk to the children about what they're interested in, and hopefully it will take away any anxiety or whatever else that there is that's blocking her speech.
I'd like to say that most speech therapists can be intuitive. That's why I call myself an intuitive speech language pathologist, because I don't do therapy anymore. But it's the intuitive way to understand what a child wants to talk about and
Absolutely.
teach them those things instead of teach them what you want them to say. And then you don't find the need to prompt them.
Part of me is actually really happy because I get to have my daughter, with us the whole time, and I can actually do this more of the language facilitating with her, and I feel like we can get quicker results. And if there is any other anxiety that's in her that's stopping her from letting her voice come out even more and her speech, then I think we can get rid of that with her being home. So part of me is like going, yay, I'm happy, I want her home, okay, I can do this. So I am excited because she's going to be home and I can work with her more with the speech, with her speech, and to find her voice, which I always say, you help me help my daughter find her voice. And I'll always be grateful for that.
Well, that sounds wonderful. It is an unprecedented opportunity, is what I'm calling our current circumstances, where parents have the chance right now to be able to teach your children your way. And the resources that I have on my platform, I couldn't be more pleased that it exists right now when parents really need it. So the YouTube channel is there and the book is there. And then very recently, you have enrolled in my Language Facilitation Basics Independent Study course to
Yes.
get the full on, experience of training. Can you tell everybody a little bit about what that course provides that's different from the book and the free resources?
Absolutely. I mean, at first, when you mentioned to me about the online course, I thought, what could be different? Because it feels like I'm still going to be reading, and the what I is there something extra in this that's not in your book? And since day one of starting to read through it and to listen to the videos in there as well, I noticed a big difference. I thought, okay, this gives a little bit something more. You guide us deeper slightly in a way of how to really work with them. So this is sort of studying of getting to know inner depth, not only about your child, but also about us, about ourselves, like in the past, things that we've done that could have provided that extra blockages that she's got. See, but because now it's actually a big surprise to see the change of what the videos were like to reflect on before I went on the journey of trying your strategies, and then how the response instead I was getting after I started to do the strategies, because then there were things she'd started to say, and I just, whenever I'm sitting with my child, my phone's always recording, and I have to put it in the section where she can't see, because this girl will look and see. If she sees a video recording, she'll just pose for you. And I love the program. I'm learning so much from it. You have the strategies there, the stopping, the prompting and stuff, but this goes deeper than that. So it's opened my eyes a bit more about the extra lengths that you can go to get more of the results, and than just with the book. And I know I'm always, on your Q&As. I love them every Monday and every Thursday. And if I miss it for a reason, I get an upset, but thank God there's a replay so I can watch it and then comment again. So, and I know my comments are quite long on your videos. I get really excited when I get results, and I want to tell Mar I was like, I have to tell Marcy, I have to show Marcy.
I decided to make it available at such a discount right now is you have the structure in this course to do your complete analysis and document it in both
Yes.
writing and in video so
Yes.
that when you return to your structured therapy or school, or let's say you move to a new therapist and you're going, from one to one. We don't know what's going to happen, how long these closures are going to last. I'm telling parents to plan for 6 months of homeschooling. So now is the time to learn your process. And this
Absolutely.
course provides the whole developmental process. And there are things in this course that you haven't even gotten to yet because this course takes you all the way up through needs-based language
Yes.
to conversational language to social language and even bilingual language, in this course. So it's a developmental process that takes, as long as it takes.
The other thing is, as well, the thing you mentioned, the bilingual speech. We're bilingual because my parents originally are Lebanese. And we realized their speech before I came across you, your strategies. We stopped talking to her in Arabic. And we thought maybe it's getting confusing for her. And because we're in England, maybe we should help her with her speech in English. And we did. But then when I heard, and you were trying to push, saying, actually, no, you can. So recently we have, I know she understands because even though we weren't talking to her, it's still around her when we talk at
Right.
home. And I always try her come here. And when I want her to come somewhere, I talk to her in Arabic and she follows through. So now we're actually pushing that now. We're at the stage now, okay, her words are coming out, right? Okay, we talk to her. And I do that at night because you did the thing recently where you said we had the other podcast with this other lady of yours.
Yep.
And I heard you say, when you take them upstairs to bed, use your language. And now I've started to do that 2 days now. I go to bed, I talk to her about our day in Arabic. And she doesn't stop me. She's just like, it's like she's just listening. But I tell her, and I know she understands. So thank you. You've opened our mind. I didn't think that it was something that I could do with her as well, because I was worried if I'm talking to her in one language, how do I help her with her other one? Because we don't want her to lose it. So thank you so much
Right.
for that. It's brilliant.
Good. Oh, good. So I am really, it's so amazing to see the difference in this 6 months' time, that you've been able to do with your daughter to find in just across the board in behavior, in language, and in happiness. I can understand how you can feel this sort of, okay, it's not, it's a good problem to have right now to be able to spend some extra time at home with your daughter to facilitate language and literally everything else that you want to teach her. And I can't wait to see what you are able to come up with because I know you're going to keep following me on Q&As. So let me ask you this question. What would you recommend for other moms in the UK and all over the world who are finding themselves in the same situation with their late talking kids?
Get on the floor with your children. Get on the floor, be at their level, talk to them, find out things that they're interested in, look at what they like to play with, look at, talk to them about it, widen their mind about it, talk about different things about what they're interested in, pretend play with them. It's a new life section that I've gone into now is the pretend playing. I used to think pretend playing would be just her with her toys, and I watch her and this. Now I'm in this mindset of after watching your video the other day, okay, I've got to get into this, and okay, this is what we have to do. So now I find myself looking around when I go out quick to do a quick shop or online, things that I can get where I can actually do more interactive pretend play with, but talk to your children. I think put away everything that anybody has ever told you about your child that you don't believe in. If you are the only ones, that know your children at home. And I've learned a lot about that and how to stand up. I wasn't somebody who would face people and say, actually, hold on a minute. No, you're talking about my child in a different perspective. That's different. That's not her. I do that now. If I believe, because I see her 24 hours, sit with your children, get to know them more. Don't be afraid about that. And don't be afraid of the spontaneous stuff they'll come out with. You welcome that. And it's fun. Actually, I'm loving getting to know her and hearing more her saying words even more and expressing at times. And respect that space for them. If they will tell you when they want the space. Oh my goodness. They will tell you. They won't be upset about it, but they'll just be like, it's my time type of thing. And you'll know when and respect that, but watch them. So where it's brilliant, just interact with them and just believe in your child. There's a lot they have in their mind that they want to say. They can't say it. It's blockage. They are smart. I'm learning that about her. I'm learning from her. We started together to bake. We want to make a cake. Come on, let's make a cake. And she understands that, and she bakes, and she makes breakfast, her own omelet. You want to mix the omelet? It took us a while to actually get her to put the omelet into the pan because she just liked the mixing. No, but we have to cook it, We have to cook it. But now she agrees. Now she accepts that. Okay, because I have a bowl, she has a bowl, I do mine and hers. I put mine in the pan, cook it. Oh, look, mommy's omelet's cooked. Now it's time to cook your omelet. And she'll do it. Now she lets us do it. So do
Yeah,
that. Get them involved. The laundry, they love it. They
in
love
6 months
it.
you'll have a little homemaker. You'll have someone who loves to do laundry
I
and
believe in it. I believe in it. I love that. Thank you. She's a happy child. I get that from a lot of people say she's such a happy girl. And I go, yeah. You let her do everything. No, we don't let her get away with things, but we play with her and we explain things to her now. It's very different. I know that there's a lot more that's going to surprise me. I love the spontaneous speech from her. And my mother's worried because she's worried that she's going to be like me, where once she speaks, where my mother says doesn't know if she's going to wish that she's not speaking. She's going
Yeah.
to be a chatterbox because there's a lot up here that needs to be said and she wants to say. So, but please don't give up out the parents out there. Just do this because I think it will build that bond even more stronger, because they trust you, you're their parents. That's all I can say is kids are amazing and you've helped us be more empowered. You've helped me help her find her voice. And it's just amazing. And I can't wait for what the next few months are going to bring. Thank
Good.
you.
Me too, me too. All right. Thank you again so much for sharing your story and your language facilitation journey over the past 6 months. For parents who are just getting started, I know that it is going to be very inspirational. And everybody can know that I'm just going to still be here. Just like I have been for 2 years, I'm going to keep doing it as long as necessary because it is my mission to help as many parents as possible find that solution like you did. So thanks again for joining me. And I'll
Thank
see
you
you
so
all in the
much,
next few.
Marcy. Thank you.
Thanks for listening in today. Please share this podcast episode with anybody you think can benefit. And remember, there are tons of resources across my Waves of Communication platform to help you get started today on your language facilitation journey. There's more than 200 free videos on YouTube, a daily blog in my group on Facebook, my book, If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun. Teach Your Child to Talk Faster Than Speech Therapy is available on Amazon and Audible, and my coaching programs. And all the details are on my website at wavesofcommunication.com. Of course, I'll be back next week with more information and strategies to help you continue on your language facilitation journey. Bye for now.